Listen to the wind. I should hardly think he'd come tonight. That's the worst of living so far out. Of all the beastly, slushy, out-of-the-way places to live in, this is the worst. There he is. The old man rose as a tall, burly man entered. Sergeant Major Morris, said Mr. White, introducing him to his wife and his son, Herbert. The little family gathered chairs by the fire, regarding with eager interest this visitor from distant parts who spoke of wild deeds, of wars and plagues, and strange people. I'd like to go to India myself, the old man spoke. Better way are, replied Sergeant Major Morris. I should like to see those old temples and fakirs and jugglers. What was that you started telling me the other day about a monkey's paw or something, Morris?
Well, it's just a bit of what you might call magic, perhaps. To look at it, he said, fumbling in his pocket. It's just an ordinary little paw dried to a mummy. But it has a spell put on it by an old fakir, a very holy man. He wanted to show that fate ruled people's lives and that those who interfered with it did so to their own sorrow. He put a spell on it so that three separate men could each have three wishes from it.
Well, why don't you have three, sir?
I have.
And did you really have the three wishes granted?
I did.
And has anybody else wished?
The first man had his three wishes. I don't know what the first two were. But the third was for death.
That's how I got the paw. If you could have another three wishes, would you have them?
I don't know.
He took the paw and, dangling it between his forefinger and thumb, suddenly threw it upon the fire. White, with a slight cry, stooped down and snatched it off. If you don't want it, Morris, give it to me.
No. I threw it on the fire. If you keep it, it's your own doing. Don't blame me for what happens.
Mr. White shook his head and examined his new possession closely. How do you do it? How do you wish with it?
Hold it up in your right hand and wish aloud, but I warn you, only evil will come of it. I must be off now. But remember, if you must wish, wish for something sensible.
Mr. White held the paw in his right hand. I don't know what to wish for. It seems to me I've got all I want. If you only cleared the mortgage on the house, you'd be quite happy. Well, wish for $200 then. That'll just do it, said Herbert. His father held up the talisman as the son sat down at the piano and struck a few impressive chords.
I wish for $200.
A fine crash from the piano greeted the words, interrupted by a shuddering cry from the old man. His wife and son ran toward him. It moved. I wished, and it twisted in my hand like a snake.
Well, I don't see the money. It must have been your imagination, father, replied his son.
The old man shivered, as if it were cold. Even after his wife and son went off to bed, he sat alone in the darkness, gazing at the dying fire and seeing faces in it. The last face was so horrible and so simian that he gazed at it in amazement. His hand grasped the monkey's paw, then he put it down, and with a little shiver, he wiped his hand on his coat and went up to bed. In the brightness of the wintry sun next morning, as it streamed over the breakfast table, he laughed at his fears.
Well, don't spend those $200 before I come back, said Herbert as he rose from the table to go to work. That monkey's paw may turn you into a mean, avaricious man, and we shall have to disown you. He laughed, and his mother laughed, and following him to the door, watched him down the road. Herbert will have some more of his funny remarks, I expect, when he comes home.
I dare say, but for all that, the thing moved in my hand. That I'll swear to you. You thought it did.
The old man and his wife argued about it all morning.
I say it did. I had just...
What's the matter? His wife made no reply. She was watching the mysterious movements of a man outside who was looking at the house in an undecided fashion. He paused at the gate and then with sudden resolution flung it open and walked up the path. Mrs. White brought the stranger, who seemed ill at ease, into the room.
I was asked to call. I come from the factory.
Is anything the matter? Has anything happened to Herbert?
I'm sorry.
Is he hurt?
Badly hurt. But he's not in any pain.
Oh, thank God. Thank God for that. Thank...
She broke off suddenly as the sinister meaning of the assurance dawned upon her. Then she saw the awful confirmation of her fears in the other's averted face. He was caught in the machinery. Mr. White stared blankly out of the window, and taking his wife's hand between his own, pressed it as he had been wont to do in their old courting days nearly 40 years before.
He was the only one left to us. It's hard to believe he's dead.
The factory wished me to convey their sincere sympathy with you in your loss. I was to say that they admit no liability at all, but in consideration of your son's services, they wish to present you with a certain sum as compensation.
Mr. White gazed with horror. How much?
$200. A week had passed since the old people had buried their son. Mr. White dozed fitfully until a sudden wild cry from his wife awoke him with a start.
The paw! The monkey's paw!
Where is it? What's the matter?
I only just thought of it. Why didn't I think of it before?
Think of what?
The other two wishes. We only had one. Get it quickly. And wish, oh, my boy, my boy.
But he has been dead 10 days, and besides, he...
I could not tell you, but
after the accident, I could recognize him only by his clothing.
If he was too terrible for you to see, then... How now? Bring him back. Do you think I fear the child I have nursed? Wish. Wish.
He raised his hand and held the monkey's paw.
I wish my son alive again.
What's that?
It's Herbert.
Let go. I must open the door.
For God's sake, don't let it in.
You're afraid of your own son. Let me go. I'm coming, Herbert. I'm coming.
The old woman with a sudden wrench broke free and ran from the room. Her husband followed to the landing and called after, appealing to her to stop as she hurried downstairs. He heard the door chain rattle back and the bottom bolt drawn slowly and stiffly from the socket. He was on his hands and knees, groping wildly on the floor in search of the monkey's paw. If he could only find it before the thing outside that had been his son got in. He heard the creaking of the bolt as it came slowly back. And at the same moment found the monkey's paw and frantically breathed his third and last wish. street lamp flickering opposite shone upon a quiet and deserted road.